council can come have a seat when you're, when it's clear. Thank you for your patience. The last oral case on our calendar today is State of Minnesota versus Zeem Khan Lee. Council will each have 15 minutes for your argument, followed by 5 minutes of rebuttal for appellant. If you can please identify yourself and who you represent at the start of your argument, and you can adjust the podium as necessary. You can proceed whenever you're ready.
Good morning. Would it please the court, opposing counsel? My name is Kayla Wingronowitz, and I represent the appellant here, Mr. Zhang Lee. This case is about making sure defendants like Mr. Lee are convicted on proper grounds and not based on assumptions. I'm going to focus the bulk of my time here today focusing on the evidence and whether or not it was sufficient. And while doing that, I would ask that the court apply the heightened standard of review as circumstantial evidence was used to convict Mr. Lee. The state did rely on what was in his wallet as well as him arriving to the hotel as indicative of his guilt. I would agree that the text messages in and of themselves are direct evidence. However, his belief as to the undercover agent's age or the alleged prostitute's age, as well as what his intent was to do with the alleged prostitute, are both
But on that question, you have no evidence that he challenged the age or that he mentioned a massage.
I'm so sorry, what's that?
There's no evidence in the record that he challenged the age in any way or mentioned the massage until well after he'd talked to the officers after this event.
Correct.
Why don't we have all the direct evidence we need to support this conviction?
What I would say is that Mr. Lee, when he was interrogated by Detective Kirky after his arrest, he did mention a massage. And at trial, he did testify that he did not believe the undercover officer when they said that they were 15 years old. He testified that people lie on the internet, so he needed to have a face-to-face conversation.
But his immediate response was, that's young.
Correct, which I would argue is just a response. Somebody could invite me to lunch saying I'm going at noon, and I can say, okay, it does not mean I've agreed to go to lunch with them. They've just let me know information.
Well, that's splitting hairs on this conversation. There's no doubt what they were talking about here.
What I would say about the... Even if the court wanted to move forward with the sufficiency of the evidence, the traditional standard, I still think there are serious issues with this case that it could allow for the court to reverse the conviction, specifically on the age and the intent. While the undercover officer did say that she was 15 and that Mr. Lee acknowledged that by saying, "You're young," he also followed it up by asking for a picture and saying, "Are you really you?" And he even hesitated by canceling the appointment, which was not reestablished until officers reached back out to him saying, "Are you still coming? Where are you?" That's in the record. That's in Exhibit
But he did show up.
He did, ultimately.
And he never said that, he never indicated that being 15 years old was a problem for him.
Correct. In his text messages, he did not indicate that. But part of the problem with these cases are we are going both on what's in direct evidence, text messages, what's said, but it's also what's in his mind, what's his intent. In this case, which is different than many of the other cases that's come before this court, is that defendants have made explicit statements or explicit agreements about what they're wanting to do with this prostitute, how they're wanting to spend their time. They say they want to engage in sexual penetration or, you know, a lap dance or something like that. Mr. Lee simply acknowledges the offer that was made by the undercover officer. He doesn't say, yep, let's do that. That sounds excellent. I want to do all of that. He doesn't say, I want to do X, Y, and Z sexual acts with you. She simply says, a condom is required. I only do bareback for oral sex or something along those lines. Mr. Lee simply acknowledges that statement, saying, that's fine, okay.
I agree with that, but in his communications with her, he never mentions the word massage, correct?
Correct, he doesn't.
And she didn't ever mention the word massage.
Correct.
So based on the communications between the two of them, I don't think there's any discussion that would lead you to conclude that he intended to go for a massage. In fact, he said in response to the discussion about condoms, he said, I'll use yours. So that certainly sounds like he is planning on more than a massage.
Correct. When Mr. Lee says that, when the undercover officer says that a condom is required and Mr. Lee says, I will use yours, the turning point where things change was that was all prior before the undercover officer said, by the way, I'm a 15-year-old. Mr. Lee was making arrangements with someone he thought was an adult at that time. Once the undercover officer switched the alleged prostitute's age to 15 years old, there's no reestablishing that Mr. Lee wants to move forward with, if we want to call it even an agreement, I would say it's not, but if the court wants to view it as an agreement, he doesn't re-up on that saying, that's no problem, we can proceed as usual. In fact, he pulls back, he has hesitations, and the state reaches out, the undercover officer has to reach back out to him to confirm he's coming, and that's something very different than we've seen in the other cases that have come before the court.
But he does go to the apartment, and he never indicated, I'm coming, but I want a massage, instead of something else if you're 15.
That's correct, and I believe Mr. Lee's testimony was that he was going there for a massage, which the district court found not credible, but that there was potential for more. I would note that in the district court's findings, they simply found him uncredible on that point of going for a massage. They didn't find the rest of his testimony not credible. It was just his reason for arriving there. Whether Mr. Lee was arriving for a massage or something else, the issue is both the age and whether he intended to solicit or engage in prostitution with a 15-year-old. They go hand in hand. If he made an agreement with an 18-year-old and then the undercover officer flips it to a 15-year-old, his words and conduct after learning that new information do not support a conviction that he solicited a 15-year-old. Mr. Lee hesitated. He pulled back. He said, I can't make it right now. And the officer later reaches out to him saying, are you still coming? As far as intentionally agreeing to hire, I would say that's the focus of this, as the undercover agent was the one who actually offered sexual services. It would be on Mr. Lee to agree to them, and I would argue that he did not. He simply acknowledged them, perhaps had interest in them, minding that this was when he believed the alleged prostitute was 18 years old. The solicitation piece goes hand in hand with the offer and acceptance. Our stance has always been that there needs to be an offer and an agreement, and when you start changing material facts, you need to confirm that that person is okay with
it. The Supreme Court's made it clear you don't apply contract law in that way to these cases. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. I would use it more loosely than that. The problem is here, there's essential elements that are being proven at trial, and when you're swapping out elements willy-nilly, if you will, it does disturb the flow of the conversation. What Mr. Lee agrees to when he thinks he's talking to an 18-year-old should not be held against him once it's revealed that she's 15 without asking for more from him. Is that okay with you? What do you want to do? Hope that doesn't bother you. Some acknowledgement to him that he is still willing to move forward with the agreement. Him solely showing up to the apartment to inquire further is not enough to convict that he intended to engage in sexual contact or sexual penetration with a 15-year-old.
Well, the Supreme Court said that whether there's been an offer or solicitation can be implied by the defendant's words and actions, correct?
Correct.
And so in this case, he went to the apartment, he had the money, he indicated he'd use her condom. Why isn't that sufficient?
The money portion of it is insufficient because he had much more money than she was requesting. A lot of times defendants are showing up with the exact amount of money that the prostitute has requested. He has much more, so it's unclear. It's unclear what that money would be for. I understand the state's going to say it's going to be for prostitution services, but it's not wholly indicative that there's an innocent purpose to having cash on you, as is just as plausible as there is that he was going to use it for prostitution. Him, again, talking about using her condom, that was for when he thought she was an 18-year-old. That was never rediscussed or renegotiated once she said, by the way, I'm 15. That was just left untouched from their prior conversation. So I would argue that after the undercover officer says, by the way, I'm 15, the only evidence that they have is him showing up to the apartment. That is benign conduct in the sense that Mr. Lee testified he wanted to have a conversation with her and see who he was dealing with. It wasn't an exchanging of text messages saying, that's fine, can't wait to meet you, can't wait to see you, we're gonna have a fun day. What I would stress to this court is that the context of how these events unfolded is important. We often remind jurors to bring their common sense with them into the deliberation room and, you know, not leave it at the door. I think I've touched on it briefly that the way this conversation unfolded went awry. The state of Minnesota, the police departments, they're executing more and more of these Operation Guardian Angels sting operations more and more throughout the state. I believe on this date alone, there was at least two sting operations in different jurisdictions operating simultaneously within Hennepin County, one in Maple Grove and I believe one in Minnetonka. These operations can go quickly, they can go crazy, and they can become routine for the officers. The officer neglected to solicit any type of response from Mr. Lee asking that he agreed to what offers was being made and that he was willing to participate in them. Typically, what we can see in these situations is defendants asking that the prostitute participate in some sexual contact or penetration. In this case, it was the officer that offered, and Mr. Lee simply acknowledged that statement. He didn't explicitly agree to it, and I would say by him solely showing up to an apartment, that's not an implicit agreement as well. There was more negotiating to be done based on their very minimal, vague conversation.
What additional negotiation was to be done?
Mr. Lee wanted to put eyes on this alleged prostitute and make sure that it was a safe situation for him to be in, if you will.
But how is that negotiation?
His testimony was that he would want a massage, which I understand the district court found not credible, but that he was willing to do more Once he was able to see who this person was, that he was sexually attracted to this person by the way that they looked, that they were who they posted themselves to be online, and if they weren't, he would leave, potentially.
Well, why didn't he just say, if you're 15, I'm not interested? I mean, that would be the simple thing to do.
I agree, that would be the
simple. That would be common sense, if you want to go down the common sense road.
That would, unfortunately, with the era we live in today and everybody lying online, he wasn't sure what to believe. I mean, he himself lied to the undercover prostitute saying that his name was Steve and that he was 32. It does. Why people lie, I don't know. But I mean, he testified that he didn't know what to think, that he thought maybe they were lying. Clearly, based on the number of defendants we're seeing with these similar charges, there is an interest in...
But it seems his concern about their credibility goes to whether they're attractive or not, not their age.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Well, based on what he had said, it sounded like his concern about the credibility of the person he's talking to went more to whether they were attractive or not, not their age.
I think it was both. I think he wanted to make sure that he was attracted to them, and he implied, if he did not directly say, I think he might.
No, he didn't directly say it. Not till later.
Yeah, okay. So then it would be, yes, that part of the things he would consider would be how they looked, but also their age, that he was looking to have relations with an adult female that day. And I see my time's up.
But a younger adult female, because he said he had some that were older and he had no interest in, as I recall.
May I answer? I
see you may. Go ahead.
Thank you. Sexual preferences can be a funny thing. I think his testimony was that he had had relations with prostitutes before, but they were not minors. They were young adults, and that his preference would be for a young adult versus a 30 or 40-year-old woman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Devonna Wells. I'm an assistant Hennepin County attorney and I represent the state of Minnesota. Appellant asks you today to abandon the traditional standard of review. The district court gets to make credibility determinations about evidence it believes and witnesses it believes, and the district court did that here. The district court did not believe appellant when he testified he was seeking a massage and did not intend to hire or solicit a minor for sex. The evidence supports that credibility determination. And the credibility determinations made by the district court and the evidence weighed there should not be reweighed on appeal.
Counsel, in terms of the standard of review, isn't the circumstantial evidence standard of review proper here because, or analysis proper here because he didn't explicitly say that he intended to engage in certain conduct with the decoy, and so there's an inference there. We don't have any direct evidence that he said, I want to do act A, B, or C with you.
In the appellant's post-arrest interview, he acknowledged that he believed he was speaking with an escort and that he believed she was 15, and that's wrong. And so I think the text messages combined with the post-arrest interview provide the direct evidence to satisfy the direct evidence standard of review. But even under circumstantial evidence, the heightened review, the circumstances proved here lead to the only, are consistent with the reasonable inference of guilt.
Thank you.
I would briefly address the issue of findings raised by appellant. There is no need for remand on findings here. If the evidence supports the general finding of guilt, as it does here, Findings for each element are inferred. If there are no additional questions on either of those issues, I would just reiterate that the appropriate standard of review should be applied. The district court weighed the evidence and made the credibility determinations, and those should not be reweighed on appeal.
Okay. One follow-up question, counsel. It seems both parties have an agreement that the trial court erred when it entered convictions and sentences on both counts, and you're suggesting that the technical solicitation or count be dismissed because it's the lesser charge of the two. It's arising out of the same behavioral incident. The problem with that is if you're operating under the same behavioral incident, and that would be statute 609035, we don't vacate the conviction. The court's finding of guilt is still there and the conviction is there, but we do vacate the sentence. But if it's a violation of 60904, same course of conduct, then we would vacate both. And in this case, while it doesn't appear that one is a lesser included to the other, there is language in 60904 that says a crime necessarily proved if the crime charge were proved, and that's in 60904, subdivision 1-4. And that doesn't seem to be the case as to the more serious crime, but it seems like if you've proven the less serious crime, which is the solicitation over media, that you've necessarily proved the more serious crime. So it seems like the appropriate remedy is 60904 and would be what you're seeking. But if you cast it as same behavioral incident under 035, then we should remand it to have the sentence vacated and the conviction continue. Do you have a position on that?
The state's position is that one of the sentences should be vacated, but that the conviction should remain on the record.
That's different than what's stated in the red brief, in your brief. On page 20, it says the prosecution agrees that the case should be remanded to have one of the formal adjudications / judgments and sentences vacated. I interpreted that I believe Judge Kirk did, to mean that you wanted the conviction vacated as well.
I believe it. I think we're all in agreement here. I think the conviction should remain on the record with one of appellant sentences vacated.
Well, that's if we're operating under 609035. But if it's appropriate to look at it under 60904, then we would vacate both the conviction and the sentence. And so I'm trying to get your take on which applies.
Do you agree that one is a lesser included of the other? Or do you think it is?
I don't have an answer to that. And if it would be helpful to have a follow-up letter or brief on this discrete issue, I'm happy to supply that.
Well, it's not a classic lesser included, but mm-hmm. There's that language that says, even if it isn't a lesser included, if it's necessarily proven in the prosecution of one of the crimes, then it's considered an included offense, and you would dismiss the conviction as well, or vacate the conviction as well. But that would be under 60904, not under 035, which is same behavioral incident.
In State v. Tynes, this same issue arose, and the way it's briefed here is how it was handled in that case. So that may be a reference point on this issue.
And unfortunately, a lot of folks out there don't understand the technicalities of these two statutes, and so the law isn't always developed as cleanly as it should be.
I appreciate that. If there are no additional questions, thank you for your time.
Counsel, I do have one more question for you, going back to Mr. Lee's view of the person's age. I think you said that he admitted that she was 15, or I maybe misstated what you said, but anyway, I think, I don't think he ever agreed that she was 15 years old. I think what he said was he acknowledged that she identified herself as 15 years old. So are you saying that that's sufficient direct evidence of age?
I think combined with the text messages and the post-arrest interview together provide the direct evidence needed.
But after she said she was 15, he asked for a picture of her and said, what if I come and it's not you? Doesn't that call into question the age?
I think that the text message saying you're young and then saying to the officer afterwards, acknowledging that she was 15, that he thought she was an escort and she identified herself as 15, together provide the direct evidence on that.
Okay, thank you.
Just looking in the transcript to find Mr. Lee's post-arrest interview. I couldn't find specifically where it says it, but from my recollection, I believe the question posed to him by Detective Kirky was, did she tell you she was 15? To which Mr. Lee responded, yes. I don't believe from my recollection that the conversation went much further to discuss whether or not he believed that she was 15, simply that she said she was, and he acknowledged that the text messages would show she said she was 15. That being said, I would again ask the court to just focus on the nuance of how this conversation unfolded and how it's different than most other cases. I had a lot of trouble finding any cases that were somewhat on point with this factual situation, where there was arguably an agreement with an 18-year-old, and then it switches to a 15-year-old, and then there's really nothing after that, simply Mr. Lee acknowledging some statements and then showing up. I would argue that that's insufficient to convict him because there is an assumption that the agreement remained in place. There is no direct or circumstantial evidence. In fact, Mr. Lee's testimony was that there was an agreement, was not an agreement, and that he needed to go there to kind of ferret out the situation, see what was really going on, and that he was hesitant to do that until law enforcement contacted him asking if he was still going to be coming, which he ultimately did. I would also note that in the district court's findings, relating to the communications Mr. Lee engaged in with the undercover officer, most all of the district court's findings relate to conversations that were had prior to the 15-year-old age coming to light. The district court noted that there was a discussion of price, sexual acts, use of a condom, dialogue regarding fetishes, oral sex, and anal sex, as well as a location. All of that occurred prior to the 15-year-old component coming out, with the exception of the location. Mr. Lee did ask for the location after she said that she was 15 years old. It's just a very bizarre situation. I can understand that there's a lot of questions as to why would he show up, why would he be okay with going if she said she was 15. At the district court level during trial, those are questions that the state has the burden of proof regarding. Mr. Lee can try to explain what was going through his mind, but ultimately it's not his burden to prove why he would show up or why he wanted to talk to her. He simply explained the best he could. The district court found some of that to be not credible. But ultimately, it's the state's burden to prove each and every element, which they did not do beyond a reasonable doubt. The evidence is not sufficient to prove that he intentionally hired or agreed to hire a prostitute who was 15 years old. Much of the conversation, as I've said over and over, happened before he was informed that she was 15. He simply showed up. There was not a further acknowledgement, a further agreement that he was willing to participate in any conduct with her. It's simply silent as to what they were going to do. I would ask the court to reverse and remand the case to the district court for sentencing.
Thank you. Thank you both for your arguments. The matter is submitted, and we will issue our opinion within the statutory time frame.